This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is My New Walk in Christ.
Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It says their understanding is darkened because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Do you know that if you are blind, you cannot reach your destination without stumbling and tripping and falling over stuff? Everybody stand up for a moment. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your eyes so you won't cheat. All right. How many of you believe with your eyes closed and your hands over your eyes that you could walk up here and meet me on the stage without stumbling or tripping over somebody or something? Now catch it. You couldn't walk up here without probably falling over something. Amen. And what the Bible is telling us is that's the way that unsaved people are spiritually. Their eyes are shut. They are blinded. They can't see. They are ignorant of the word of God. So guess what happens? They are always stumbling over something in their life. Always hurting themselves by running into somebody or something. And not only hurting themselves, hurting other people. It says they are cut off from the life of God, given over to all kinds of godless behavior in their lives. All the time tripping and falling and getting into some unrighteous mess because they are spiritually blind. They can't see. They are ignorant of the word of God, and therefore they do not obey it. Here's the issue. Unsaved people get godless results in life, not because they are unsaved, but because they are walking in darkness. And anybody else who walks in darkness, whether saved or unsaved, will get the same results. Unsaved people are tripping and falling over themselves, hurting themselves and other people in life because they are spiritually blind, they are ignorant, they can't see what they're doing, and therefore they mess up. Guess what? Even if you are saved, if you continue to walk the way an unsaved person walks, you will get the same results, even as a Christian. Catch it. If I act like an unsaved person, guess what? I will get the same results an unsaved person gets. Those who are unsaved don't have a choice because they can't see. They are blind. But you know what we as Christians are like? When you stood up and you closed your eyes and put your hand over your eyes, and then I told you you could sit down, what did you do? You took your hand away and you opened up your eyes and you could see again. Amen? The difference between unsaved people and Christians is that spiritually, unsaved people can't see because they're blind, but Christians just have to open their eyes. Hallelujah. You see, now you've got a choice. You have been given, the scripture says, a new man. You don't have to walk in ignorance and blindness anymore. Because when I am born again, the scripture says, I am born no longer of the flesh, but of the spirit. And I receive a new man. A new man comes to life in me. Go over to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 20. Look at this. But you have not so learned Christ. That means to walk in the way the unsaved walk. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you catch it? When you are born again, God brings to life in you a new man. You are no longer who you used to be. The old man lived in sin, loved to have his own way. The scripture says that we delighted to fulfill the lusts of our own flesh when we were walking that way. But now when you get born again, the Bible says that God brings to life a new man. And that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, you are born of the Spirit of God. And that new man is just as holy as the Spirit of God himself. Do you catch it? So now you've got a choice. Where you didn't have a choice before, where your old man was in control and he was spiritually blind and ignorant. Now you've got a choice because what? You got a new man. When Priscilla and I had first gotten married, I was scheduled to preach in our church. And we were new to one another and we had some communications mixed up. I don't remember what happened. But it turned out that Sunday morning that all my suits were in the cleaners. And I didn't have anything to wear. So guess what I did? I went and I preached in my shirt and tie. And I confessed, you know, we kind of messed it up. I don't know. You know, we knew it this. Amen. We're working on it. But catch it. I didn't have a choice. I had to go in what I had. Amen. That's the way unsaved people are. They don't have a choice. They got to go in what they have. And what they have is ignorant. And blind spiritually. But once you get saved, hallelujah, you can go to your spiritual closet and instead of that old stuff that you used to have there, you got a bright new suit, praise God. And you have a choice that morning. Am I going to put on my old stuff? Or am I going to put on this new suit that I got that looks great, praise the Lord? As a Christian, you still have the choice. Am I going to act like the new man or am I going to act like the old man? Am I going to walk the new walk or am I going to keep on walking the old walk? Am I going to act like I'm a growing up, maturing Christian or am I going to still act like I'm a spiritual baby? Because understand, catch it. Your new man, when you get born again, can never be happy acting like the old man. You will not be happy. You will not be comfortable still walking along in sin, fulfilling the lusts of your own flesh, doing what it is you feel like you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. Understand, you think you're doing the best you can for yourself, but you will not be happy. Once you become a true Christian, you will never be comfortable or happy living an ungodly lifestyle. Look again at Ephesians 4. Verses 21 through 24. Look at what God says that we have to do. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to have your mind washed by the word of God. Amen. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. It's your choice. It's your choice. Now, what's the difference between the old man and the new man? Notice something. Those are the only two choices you got. Amen. Old man, new man. There is no in between. Because the thing that characterizes the old man is not that he is evil in everything he does. You know what the thing about the old man is? He picks and chooses. He picks and chooses. As long as it's comfortable, as long as it's convenient, he has no problem obeying God. Amen? As long as it doesn't cost him too much, as long as it's not too hard, he has no problem obeying God, but let it get in the way of him doing what he wants to do. Let it get in the way of him fulfilling the desires of his flesh. And guess what? He'll choose to gratify himself. See, that's what the old man is like. He's not always evil, but he picks and he chooses. Understand, what you sow, what? You reap. And the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap life. And so understand it. We can't play games with God and pick and choose what we're going to obey and what we're not going to obey. And understand this. As long as you are picking and choosing what to obey, you are still walking in that old man, and you will still get the ungodly results that the old man got. Let's see some specific examples. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Therefore, putting away lying. How many of us would have to admit that there have been times in our lives as Christians when, to get ourselves out of something, we deliberately told a lie? Let me see. All right, amen, amen. Because you recognize that for some of you, not to put up your hand is to tell another lie. Amen? Am I right? Uh-huh. All right. Catch it. We are not allowed to pick and choose when to lie. Let me tell you a little story here. I saw this as I was getting ready for this message. Sometimes, don't we? We feel like we are tempted to lie for a good reason, you know, so we won't hurt somebody's feelings or to make them feel better. Has that ever happened to you? You know, somebody asks you, how do you like my new dress or my new suit? And you say, in your mind, it looks like a sack of potatoes, but you got to tell them something, amen? And so what do? You come up with a little lie. Well, there's a story of a woman who was out on the West Coast, and she was on a vacation getting ready to come home. She was going to ride the train home, and every city that she came to, she was going to call her husband and, you know, just let him know she was okay, see how things were at home. So before she left L.A., getting ready to come back, she called home, and he was talking with her husband and said, how's my cat? He said, he's dead. She said, why did you tell me that? You just messed up my whole vacation. I love that cat. He said, well, look, what was I supposed to do? She said, here's the way you handle that. You know, while I'm out here in L.A., when I call and ask for the cat, you should have told me, well, he went up a tree. And then when I get to Denver and I called you, you should have said, well, he fell out of the tree. And then when I get to Chicago and I called you, you should say, well, he's at the vet. And then when I got home, finally, you could tell me that he died. And the husband said, okay, I'll do it. I'll learn. I'll do it better next time. She said, good, all right. Oh, by the way, how's my mom? There was a long pause, and he said, well, she's up a tree. Telling the little lie to try to make somebody feel better. Amen. But the Word of God says we cannot pick and choose. Christians don't lie. Look at the next one. Verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Is it okay for Christians to get angry sometimes? Is it okay? Can you be godly and angry at the same time? Oh, yes, absolutely. Amen. What's the first example that comes to mind of godly anger? Jesus going into the temple, throwing out the money changers who were perverting the temple of God. Amen. And so there is a godly anger. We are allowed to be angry, but what does the scripture say? Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What's that saying? You can't hold on to your anger. You as a Christian don't have the right to hold on to anger, to pick and choose who you're going to stay angry with and who you're going to let go. Yes, sometimes you will be angry. And as we have found out in Bible study here, the purpose for which God gave us anger is so that we can see that there's something that needs to be dealt with. The purpose of anger is to alert us that there's an issue that needs to be dealt with. We need to go and deal with it. But what we cannot do, we're not allowed to do as Christians, we don't have the choice to do if we're walking in the new man, is to hold on to that anger and resentment and bitterness as somebody that's offended us, got on our nerves, did something wrong to us. That's the old man and not the new. The Bible says that if you are walking in the new man, number one, if somebody makes you angry, you need to go to that person. Amen? You need to deal with the offense. Try to work it out. If they need to apologize to you, you give them that opportunity. If you need to apologize to them, you apologize to them. But one way or the other, when that episode is over, what do you have to do?
Forgive.
Got to forgive. Amen? Got to forgive. You can't hold on to your anger walking in the new man. Look at the next verse. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. The old man is a thief. The new man never takes what doesn't belong to him. Now, how many of you is that an issue for? You know, you're kind of tempted to steal sometimes. Any of us here kind of tempted to steal? If you came over to my house and I had money out on the table, would I be safe? Okay, so you wouldn't steal, amen? You would never steal. Praise God. I'm glad you wouldn't steal. Hallelujah. How many of you take a long lunch hour at work? Longer than your employer gives you every once in a while. Anybody do that? If you're supposed to be working an 8-hour day and you work a 7.5-hour day and you got paid for 8, what is that? Stealing. Amen. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Your employer has a policy on personal phone calls. And, of course, the boss is not around right now, and you got some business to transact, and so you just make a few calls on their time and on their dime. Amen? And that's, what is that?
Stealing.
Uh-huh. When is it right for a Christian to steal? I should be able, any place in this church, to put my wallet down with $100 in my wallet and have no fear. It'll be there. Amen? Or if it's not there, it'll be because somebody ran up to me and said, Pastor, I found your wallet. And everything is inside of it. It shouldn't even be an issue. But I want to get to something that's even more difficult than going down to the store and stealing something. How many of you value your good name? Your good reputation? Amen? Is that valuable to you? Amen. Amen. Do you recognize that when you gossip and backbite about somebody, you are stealing their good name from them? Amen? You're stealing their good name. Let's take it a step further. I mean, can we get deep on this today? When you are unmarried and you sleep with somebody that you're not married to, you have stolen from them that which belongs only to their future husband or wife. You recognize that? You stole it. You ran off with it just as much as if you took a gun and shoved it in his face and said, give me what you got. But catch this, it's even worse. You have stolen from your own future husband or wife what ought to belong only to them. Amen? You see, stealing is not just always money. There's many ways that we can steal from one another. Whenever we take something that does not rightfully, in the sight of God, belong to us, we have stolen. And that's the old man and not the new man. Christians never steal. Look at the next one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We talked about this last time, talked about how we talk about one another and talk to one another, and that our words must build up, edify, rather than tear down. But look at what it says in verse 30. When we don't speak to and about one another that way, what are we doing? We are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. God is grieved when God hears his children tearing one another down. His heart is grieved. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You've got to put off that old man, put on the new man. And so all bitterness and wrath, anger, all evil speaking about other believers has got to be put away if we're going to walk in the new man. Now, by the way, go back to verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The example that I always use about corruption is this. I grew up in Tennessee, close to the Tennessee River. And every once in a while, we'd go down to the river and there'd be a dead fish washed up on the shore. Dead and stinking. It was corrupt. Amen? Corrupt. And when I look at what the Bible says about corrupt words, words that tear down instead of building up, the example that always comes to my mind is going down to the riverbank, getting one of those corrupt dead fish and putting it in my mouth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But do you understand that's the way it feels to God when he sees us do that? Now think about this. You turn on your TV today, what kind of words are you going to hear? A lot of corrupt words, isn't that right? A lot of words that tend to bring you down instead of lifting you up. And if we fill our ears with corrupt words, sooner or later what comes in our ears is going to pop out of our mouths. Amen? So if we're not going to let corrupt words proceed out of our mouth, we got to guard not only our mouth, but what? Our ears. There are some things that you can't afford to watch on TV. There are some movies you cannot afford to go to if you are going to walk in the new man instead of in the old man, because you are bringing into your spiritual being corruption. I know nobody here tells dirty jokes. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Thank you. Nobody here tells dirty jokes. How many of us hear dirty jokes from time to time? How many of us hear dirty jokes? How do you, as a Christian, respond to a dirty joke? I say this often, and it's so true. You know what the horrible thing about dirty jokes is? They're funny. They're really funny. And so when you hear a dirty joke as a Christian, how do you handle it? Well, let me tell you something. You may have heard this expression. Somebody told it to me, and I think it's apt. I think it's right. They said, if you grin, you're in. Isn't that right? Because the person who tells the dirty joke, what are they looking for? They're looking for somebody to laugh. Isn't that right? And if they can get you laughing this time, what? I'm going to come back and do it again. Amen? And so as a Christian, when you laugh at somebody else's dirty jokes, even if you don't tell dirty jokes yourself, what's going on? You are encouraging them to become corrupted. You see how far this thing goes? In practically obeying the word of God? Not only do we not speak corruption, but guess what? We need to not listen to corruption, and then we need to not encourage other people in their corruption. Here's the bottom line on what the new man is all about. Here it is, Ephesians 4, look at verse 32. Bottom line. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. That's what the new man is like. Amen? The new man is kind. Instead of holding a grudge, holding on to his anger, instead of tearing down with his mouth, as we talked about last time, the law of kindness is on his lips and not the law of the snake. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Here's the final thought that I want you to get today. We've been talking about taking off that old man and putting on the new man. And the thing that characterizes the old man is that he thinks he can pick and choose what to obey and what not to obey. While the new man is committed to obeying God in everything, every area of life. If God said it, I'm going to obey it, and that's the end of it. I don't care what it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Look at this. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Do you see what that verse is saying? If you're a Christian walking in the new man, got a good reputation, amen, all it takes to make you stink is a little folly. A little messing up. A little trying to mix the old man with the new man. Guess what? It won't work. Amen? Now, I know you're curious people, so some of you have been wondering, what's he doing walking around? You've been wondering about that? In these old dirty tennis shoes, amen? Well, you know, these are the shoes I like. I mean, pursuant to you, when I get home, this is what I put on. Amen? Now, so what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is this. The shoes don't go with the suit. Isn't that right? If I'm at home and I got on my sweats, the shoes are fine. But when I come to church and I got on my suit, it doesn't go. It doesn't match. In other words, it's like you, when you as a Christian are trying to put on that new man, you're going to be living for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's just a little part that's just really comfortable that you want to keep from your old outfit, from the old man. And you're walking around, you're feeling comfortable. Oh, yeah, you know, these shoes are great. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And everybody else is looking at you going, what's wrong with him? Can he see that doesn't match? And that's what it means when we still try to pick and choose and mix and match what we're going to obey and what we're not going to obey. As a believer, we need to make up our minds. Are we going to put on the old man or are we going to put on the new man? Because if you're going to put on the new man, it means you are committed to obeying God in everything, no exceptions. No reservations, no holding back some little part of you. Oh, Lord, my feet hurt. I'm going to put on these shoes this morning. No. You are committed to obeying him in everything. And when you do that, praise God, guess what? He'll take you to abundant life.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin. inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.